You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
Yeah, very good, Josh, and hope everybody, and including you and the listeners, are going along all right. And I'd just like to thank you for playing that particular song, a piece of instrumental, Brian's from Vangelis. It's one of my favourite films, and it's a fantastic theme.
Yeah, Chariots of Fire, a great movie, and did the other soundtrack for Blade Runner in around the same time. So he was on a bit of a roll then, and it is a great bit of music. I think we've all run along the beach pretending to do that, haven't we?
Trying to remember the last time I might have done that, Josh. It was probably a very long time ago.
But I bet you've done it, though.
Oh, I think I might have, yeah.
Yes, I think we've all tried to run to that music, and it was interesting. It was up against Raiders of the Lost Ark for the Academy Award, and both iconic bits of music at once, so yeah.
Yeah, it was a terrific show. I actually did something that I've never done before or since, and went into a cinema by myself to watch the movie and came out feeling quite exultant and ready and fired up and ready to do that run along the beach that you were talking about. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, this week, Josh, we have someone that everybody will probably know, and that's Leslie Gore.
Yeah, yeah, Kai, if I want to, and what's her other, Judy's Turn to Kai, what's, You Don't Own Me, the iconic song.
Yeah, that's right, you're right on the ball, Leslie. You're doing very well for a young bloke. I mean, that's pretty good, actually, because that's early 60s, all that stuff, so that's very good, Josh.
Yeah, well, I'm old for my age, so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm not going to go with that one, so I think I'll just move right into this, thanks. Now, Leslie Gore, she was born Leslie Sue Goldstein, on May the 2nd, 1946 in Brooklyn, New York City, to a Leo Goldstein and a Ronnie, R-O-N-N-Y, the female version, Ronnie Gore. Her father actually was the owner of Peter Pan, which is a children's swimwear and underwear manufacturer. And she was raised in a place called Tenafly, T-E-N-A-F-L-Y, in New Jersey. And she was actually a 16-year-old. I don't have much information on her upbringing or anything like that, so we moved straight into her being a 16-year-old, because that's when everything started to begin for her. She was a 16-year-old junior at what they call a Dwight School for Girls in a place called Englewood, New Jersey. And she actually recorded It's My Party on March the 30th, 1963. Now, it was produced by Quincy Jones, who Gore said in a 2005 interview later on, he was smart enough to see this whole youth market coming up. He had been recording older stars like Dinah Washington and Brooke Benton, so he put out a call for young singers, and one of the My Piano demos made it to his desk, unquote. Quincy Jones rushed her into the studio because he was worried by rumours that Phil Spector was wanting to record the song also. And so they got her into the studio, and it was released a week later. And It's My Party, as a matter of fact, shot to number one around the world, except for the UK, where it reached number nine. Leslie Gore often professed gratitude and admiration for Quincy Jones, saying that he's a person ahead of his time.
He was. He was a genius, wasn't he? Well, he's still alive.
Right, okay. And he also had some success with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, just a little bit of success with Michael Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. I did read a bit more about that. He did quite well in that area.
Yeah, he's pretty... he did okay, Quincy Jones.
No, very good. Well, she said that the instant success was very difficult for her to handle because the local disc jockey would come out and say that was Leslie Gore, the sweetie pie from Tenafly. And she said, I'd wake up in the morning and there were people camped out on my front lawn. So that would have been pretty hard for a 16-year-old, I dare say. Now, the follow-up song, of course, which we all know is Judy's Turn to Cry. Now, it's continuing the story from It's My Party. And it sounded almost the same. It reached number five in the US and Canada and number 19 in Australia. So very quickly on ongoing discography here for her, she had then She's a Fool, which was 5 in the US and 28 in Australia. You Don't Own Me, which probably the most iconic song that she had, I would have thought. And that was 2 in the US, 4 in Australia. It's actually the only song that was holding her, preventing her from the number one spot, was a song called I Want to Hold Your Hand by some group called The Beatles.
Oh, never heard of them.
No. I think that might have been the case for quite a lot of artists back in those days. That's the way Boys Are, which was 12 in the US and 16 in Australia. Maybe I Know, 14 in the US, 37 Australia. And then Sunshine, Lollipops and Rainbows, 13 in the US and 53 in Australia, which was actually Marvin Hamlisch's first hit composition. There's a fellow who did the Sting. And because Martin Hamlisch's uncle was Quincy Jones's dentist. So there's a connection there, which if you want to try and work that out, quite interesting. All these songs were recorded between 1963 and 1965 on the Mercury label. There were also some other releases in this time frame which were not overly successful, but I guess that's the case. Not every single song that they put out becomes an overnight success. Now, during this period, she was actually still at school, and she was actually studying British and American English literature, because it was felt at the time, and probably in many cases probably it's absolutely correct, it was felt at the time that rock and roll was not considered a long-term career, and folk music was more popular, well, more popularly lauded at her school where she went to, whereas pop music was often derided as being uncool. And she made the comment later on after she graduated in 1968, she said that if I'd have been Mary Travers of Peter, Paul and Mary, tall with blonde hair, I would have gotten along just fine. She also appeared in this 1965 film. I don't know whether you know these, Josh. I don't think these were high-ranking films. It was called The Girls on the Beach, and she sang three songs in it. And then another song was given to her. It was written by Carol Bayer, who wrote The Prayer, which is Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli, amongst others, and a woman called Toni Wine. Now, this was given to her to record, but a producer for a subsidiary of the Mercury record label called Smash Records, his name was Shelby Singleton, refused to let Gore record it because it had the word groovy in it.
Okay.
Now, as we well know, the Mindbenders did the song and it reached number two, and then a gentleman by the name of Phil Collins came along with it later on, and I think it was a number one song, if my memory serves me correctly. Now, she appeared on... Now, Josh, you may not know this particular program I'm going to mention. She appeared in the last episode of the Donna Reed Show.
I know Donna Reed. She was in It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, good, okay. Well, that aired in March 1966. She appeared in that last episode, and she sang two songs in that particular show. And then in 1967, she appeared in two consecutive episodes of the Batman TV series.
Oh, okay.
And she guest starred as Pussycat.
Was that a good girl or a baddie?
Oh, I think she might have been a baddie, I'm not sure. But she mined a song in each of those two shows. I didn't find out what her role was in those. You might have to go back and check that out for me, Josh.
Yeah, interesting. The same bat time, same bat channel or something?
Now, then she had another song called California Nights, which was recorded in 1967. Those previous songs that I mentioned to you were all recorded between 1963 and 65. And this song in 1967 was her first song since Sunshine, Lollipops and Rainbows. And that peaked at number 16 in California Nights. And then Mercury Records, now she signed a five-year contract when she first started with them. They gave her another year extension. And she released a song called He Gives Me Love, La La La, which despite the full-page ads in the paper promoting the song, it just failed to make any impression on the charts at all. And along with two other songs which she sang, which took her into the soul genre, they were also unsuccessful. So she then decided she'd move into writing and composing. And she composed songs for the soundtrack. You might know this film, Josh, I'm pretty sure you would. The soundtrack of the 1980 film called Fame.
Yeah. I've seen Fame, of course. I've seen the musical on stage as well.
Oh, right, okay. Well, she received an Academy Award nomination for Out Here on My Own.
Ah.
And that was written with her brother, Michael Gore, who won actually the Academy Award for the Best Original Song in the same film.
Yeah, Fame, the title song.
Yeah, that's correct.
By Irene Cara, wasn't it?
Oh, I haven't got that information, but you're the man who knows this stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll take your word for it. No, I didn't go any further with that. And then she co-wrote another song called A Secret Love, which was for the 1996 film Grace of My Heart. Now, that starred Bridget Fonda. I don't know whether you're familiar with that
I think I've vaguely heard of it, but I haven't seen it, so... Yeah.
No, that's fine. And then in 2005, she recorded another album called Ever Since. And this included a new version of You Don't Own Me. And she said, and I quote, "Without the loud backing track, I could wring more meaning from the lyric. And it's a song that takes you on a new meaning every time you sing it," unquote. She didn't be involved in comparing a television series called In the Life, which focused on LGBTQ plus issues, and in an interview stated that she said, I quote, "I just kind of lived my life naturally and did what I wanted to do without being in people's faces." I guess that's a good way to be. And then she'd been working on a memoir and a Broadway show based on her life when she unfortunately passed away of lung cancer on the 16th of February 2015 in New York City.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't realise she'd passed away. That's sad.
Yeah. She was only 68. She was fairly young. And she'd been with her partner, Lois Sasson, for 33 years. So, you know, that was quite sad. I'm not quite sure whether she might have just developed lung cancer. I don't think she was a smoker, but unfortunately that's what happened to her. Now, the New York Times in its obituary said, I quote, "Gore had made herself the voice of teenage girls, aggrieved by fickle boyfriends, moving quickly from tearful self-pity to fierce self-assertion." And I dare say that's the It's My Party Duty's Turn to Cry and then You Don't Own Me. So I dare say they're the three songs that they're probably talking about there. So, Josh, that's the story of Leslie Gore in a nutshell. A bit of a groundbreaker for female artists, I felt, and certainly with some memorable songs there, which I might ask you to play, please.
Yeah, and you're welcome. And what song do you want to hear first?
I think we might do a bit of a chronological order here. But we'll do It's My Party to start off with, and then I'll give you the others after that.
Okay, well, It's My Party, and I May Cry. This is Leslie Gore. And yes, It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To. It's a great little song, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. It's certainly something you can sing along to and relate to, that's for sure.
I must say, I knew that song for years, but I had no idea about Judy's Turn to Cry for a few years ago when my dad mentioned it. I go, oh, I didn't know that song had a sequel. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And it certainly follows on. We don't get too many of those, but this one certainly did. And it was pretty successful also. And we'll have that one. And also then You Don't Own Me, of course, which is a bit of a, probably more a catch cry in the last 15, 20 years, probably more applicable now than it was then.
And yeah, and just on that song as well, it has been covered, and it was covered 2015 by Australian singer Grace as well. I'm looking it up actually, and a rapper called G-Eazy, but actually the 2015 cover, believe it or not, was produced by Quincy Jones again. So he produced the cover.
You're
as well.
Joking.
No.
Oh, well done, my boy. You want to roll? Listen, you want to take over this segment or what?
Yeah, maybe. But well, we are working on one we're doing together in the future, a certain actor, singer, but we'll...
We certainly are.
Yeah.
It'll be a very interesting one, which might take a little bit longer than this one, I think, by the way we're going.
Yeah, but, when you mention Quincy Jones, I know Quincy's done an absolute lot. He's Michael Jackson's producer, he's an icon, so, but I still found that interesting. He's producing the cover as well, he's still going.
Well, good effort on his part.
Yeah.
Now, the fourth one is Sunshine, Lollipops and Rainbows, but as I mentioned to you off air, you might want to play another one of the two or three others that we did discuss, but that's fine by me.
Well, I've got to play Sunshine, Lollipops because it's off the greatest show, The Simpsons, as well, as you know.
We're not going to go there again, are we?
Yeah, but yes. I've got to
fit
in the Simpsons reference.
Yeah, I quite like the song. That's fine by me. That's no worry.
Yeah.
No, well, I've written down here Leslie Gore, trailblazer for female pop artists in the 60s and certainly had a very, very successful career. And unfortunately passed away when she was only 68, I think. Yeah, 16. Yeah, 68. Yeah. So that was very sad, but a very, very influential person in the 60s.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, and good one, and I look forward to talking to you next week, and we may have you in the studio soon, as you've said.
That could be a couple of weeks' time, my boy. I'm actually working on the program at this stage, but I'm not going to give you any information at all as to what it might contain.
Okay, well, thank you. Leave me in suspense. But I'll be pushing the button, so you might have to let me know eventually. But yeah.
I think you'll know well in advance, Josh. There'll be no problem there, mate. That'll be good.
Yeah. Well, all the best and take care.
All the best to you and the listeners, and hope your footy team wins. I know mine won't because we're playing Brisbane, so we've got no chance.
Yeah, and who won last week? Who won?
Yeah, we know who won last week. We didn't even give that a plug last week, did
we? No, but, yeah. No,
I tipped Richmond in the tipping competition, so it was no surprise.
Well, you tipped against your own team. That's a bit of a...
Oh, of course I do. When I'm trying to win the competition, mate. Oh. I'm a long way behind, though, so I won't go there.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well,
you and the listeners have a good one, Josh, and we'll catch up again next week, mate.
All good. Take care. Thanks.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.